We'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order. Everybody would rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, all guests. Nice you could all make it. Everybody, I think, is on the agenda for tonight, or for public comment, any? Otherwise, we'll move on to the agenda review, if there's any items to be added.
Mayor, City Council, I have a few items. A temporary on-sale liquor license for March 29th. Actually, I guess maybe public comment, we could maybe take Adam Kuby for he's not on the agenda, but we had an issue come up with the fundraiser rental on March 29th.
Okay.
We want to just step back address that issue.
We can do that. Evening.
Good evening. Adam Kuby. Last time I was here, the board approved a hall rental for a benefit we're having for one of my buddies.
For the Deathman Fellow?
Yep.
Yep.
Thanks. So what the plan was I was going to get insurance for the hall through the, One Beacon Entertainment, Jeremy?
Yeah, through the leagues, National League of Cities.
And then I stopped by today just because Jeremy kind of gave me a rough estimate of what it was going to cost, and it was about six times as much as we thought it was going to. And then, talking with Jeremy today, we kind of understood. We're selling beer. We're not going to sell beer. We're going to sell beer tickets, but that still classifies under selling beer. So I guess our only option was to have the lines, because we were going to have the Hamburg Fire Department and the Norwood Fire Department serve the beer. But with that being said, then we need a liquor license and all that. And I had talked to Bob today and to see if the Lions would come in and serve the beer that night, so we don't have to worry about everything, the insurance and everything like that.
Well, through fast enough, we'll be good to go.
I think we should be all right. Usually they have about a 10-day turnaround, but I'll call them too and let them know. So really, I think what we're looking to do tonight is to approve the temporary on-sale liquor license for the event to be held on March 29th.
Correct.
If there's any discussion, I'd rather look for a motion.
I'll move
to
approve it.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the temporary off-sale or on-sale license for the 29th.
We can't do that during public meeting.
No, we have to wait till.
Okay. Well, then we'll wait.
We can just add it to
consent. That's what used to
we
can,
yeah, I was going to say we add it to consent. If there's no further discussion needed.
All right, we'll take good and handle. So.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll see you Monday.
Okay. Sorry. Thanks, Adam. Yeah, we'll see you Monday night then.
All right. Thanks, guys. Okay.
Yep.
All right. We'll continue on
the agenda review.
You have something else to add?
Back to the agenda review, what I'd like to do is add the temporary on-sale liquor license to the consent agenda, along with our re-updated payment of this.
All right. Anything else? Anything from the council? Or does it look for a motion for the approved agenda with its changes, additions?
I move to approve with the additions.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the agenda with the added items. All in favor?
Aye.
Approved. Opposed? Carried. Move on to the consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried. The fire department report. Chief Buffett. Good evening.
Good evening, all.
Good evening.
Well, I guess we got down during the year. Banquet and dance, we brought that up last meeting, but the March 22nd, 8 to midnight will be the dance, so hope you all can make it. Banquet, we had three retirees who were honored that night. We got Cologne Fire and NYA Fire going to be covering for us for the night, so from 6 to 6, we get a night off. Any questions on dance or banquet? Yeah, Hammered Fire and Rescue. We're on Facebook now. We got a couple guys got that going. They've been putting out reminders with opening up the hydrants and checking your gas. Events we got coming. And keep up with the social media. Any questions on Facebook?
I guess not, but
I would say just monitor it.
The ones that got the, they know about it, they keep it, and some of you put something on, they know how to take it off of there. So. Yeah, the guys we got doing that are pretty up with that. Also, tonight we got the township meetings, the annual meetings. From 7:30 YA Township, we got to present to them, and Washington Lake will be at 8 o'clock in Greenville. MFA classes we put in for, the state was looking for people to host it. We had put in for it, and I talked to Bruce West, the state fire marshal in Ontario last week. He said they're currently going over it. All they need was a site to host, and nothing really we got to do for it. It'll be sometime between late 2014 and 2015. It'll be a two-day class, so we just need a site to host it, and you would have to go to the airport, pick up the instructor, and that's all we would have to do.
How many people are just involved, would you think?
From our end or total?
Total.
I'm looking at about 25 to 30 students per class they want to hold it to.
Okay.
And other than from us, the NFA, this is through the technology.
Justin, you maybe elaborate on what NFA stands for?
National Fire Academy.
Academy.
We had one of our training officers, he was out in Emmitsburg last year, he said they were so he was kind of thought that that felt something for us. So when they put they got the map set up and they're going to try and move it so there's cities all over the state instead of, otherwise they're going to get really into metro, so we have to wait back and see what we get. They said they had a record amount of departments that put in for it. So that's where that's at. I've been looking at it. Tried through Monsanto, we didn't get that one. Currently we got one through DuPont Pioneer we're working on. I know you guys, someone had asked if we're going to continue looking for grants, and so let you know that we're still going to keep looking anyway. We have the funder. Brad and Chris Peps have worked on these two. The DNR one comes up April 1st. We can start applying. And as of right now, it's always open.
Is like the power company from Jordan still give out stuff, didn't they, years ago?
They mentioned something about it.
That's a very interesting one.
Oh.
They want, I think, a lot of personal information from how much money you have in the departments.
Okay.
You put in for it, but they want a lot of information of the dollar amount and stuff.
Okay.
I never thought that was there.
Yeah.
Justin, check with me when you get some free time. Maybe we can draft up a letter to at least write to Xcel Energy about possible donation for equipment.
Okay.
Make note of that, and we can work on that one day.
Yeah, anything is helpful. On the training, there's, so much you guys know, it's been a busy month. We do our regular training, but them guys have really been going out working hard finding other trainings they've been going to, other departments. It's one thing with the grants, all these bigger departments, through the MBFTE grant, we all get it. And they've been really good setting up good trainings and opening that up for anyone. And got a few guys that have been really taking advantage of some of my stuff. This week, we've been working with them. We were there last night at their site they have. We'll be running tomorrow night with them on Saturday. I'm going to let you guys know, guys have really been working hard, working on the training and school. And finally, it was a Southeast Service Store. I'm sure there's plenty of other things that I don't have coming up tonight that happened with the building yesterday. I was wondering if that door, I don't know if you guys come in there often, but it's all glare ice. If there's something we can do to help with that, not that this guy's showing up for calls. We can see them break a leg trying to get in the door. And you can look at an overhang, and even just a simple gutter over the top on there. Because this door in the southwest corner doesn't have near the problems that we got on that one. Just something to look into or with or do something if we get try a gutter, try anything, but that's dangerous there. Also that cement right at that door is huge up. I don't know if you guys are getting any curb board this year, it's only a 3 foot by 3 and it's tipped down so that water is going back towards the building right there. If you get a cement work or something, if we can get that pad used up, would be appreciated. Finally, it's going to get brought up at the southwest door to see the caution tape was cross used up. Same thing happened in Norwood, their door looks the same as ours does right now. So we just caution taped it off and Greg put a hole in front of it. To keep out of it, or don't rip the handle off today, trying to get the doors.
For all winter.
Yep. Anything else you guys have for me?
How is that Explorer program going?
Actually, that's Brad's deal.
Okay.
He would be able to say more about that.
The Explorer deal?
Explorers.
They're training out at the Conkey Farm and right along doing everything we do.
How many people do you have in there now, Brad?
Nine.
Nine. Good.
Anything else? Counsel for Justin?
Thanks,
Thank
Justin.
You.
Thanks, Chip.
Okay, we'll move on. Commissioner Ishii. Good evening. Greetings.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members, and staff. Thanks for letting me come and visit for a few minutes. As Justin said, it's Township Annual Meeting Day, and we have 7 of the 10 townships in the county in our Commissioner District here. So I think just a few things I'll touch on. I'll stand for some questions, and then I'm going to go on the other side of the wall over here and visit those folks and move on from there. Just a couple things I'll talk about, primarily road projects. We've got a few bridges going in this summer, a couple of them. One will be out in County Road 40 in San Francisco Township. Another bridge project we'll have going this summer will be County Road 43 in Belgrade Township. In the city of Watertown, as most of you know, there's one bridge that ties the city together up there that's going to be rebuilt this summer, hopefully finished by fall. It's going to be built in a fashion where one lane of the new bridge will be built. And then they'll remove the old bridge, and that'll keep fire departments, EMS, etc., to be able to cross, because as all of you know the Watertown area around if the bridge is out. About 3 years ago, Commissioner Lynch did a lot of work and had federal money in hand, etc., to build a new corridor up there. Oh, up there by Fullerton Lumber, County Road 122 comes into the south side, all the way across the 10 and put a second bridge in. And at the time, the council wasn't ready to do that and didn't particularly maybe like that at all. They talked about a second downtown bridge, but I don't know how we'll ever be able to afford that with the price of right-of-way and things like that. But that bridge will get started in Watertown this summer and pretty much finished this fall, so it'll be passable and ready to go, except for just a few things they think they'll have to finish up in the spring of 2015. One other bridge project you've probably read about in the papers, a Highway 101 bridge south of Chanhassen going over to Shakopee. It's about a $56 million project, and thank God they're going to make it a four-lane. There was for a long, long time it was going to be two-way enrollment, and they finally realized, after we pleaded and pleaded with MnDOT and the governor's office, for $6 million more, they could make it a four-lane. So it's, there's so many projects, over at Waconia and Highway 5, when they rebuilt that over by the event center there, Lakeside Ballroom, they could have made that a four-lane. And I always think that comes back to haunt MnDOT over and over when they do that, because thankfully they are going to be doing that. That's going to be a land bridge on 101, so it'll actually stand on piers, allow the water to flow through rather than 101 being a big dike where the water is 6 foot higher on one side than the other. So that should alleviate that problem. That project is going to be bid here in early May. It should start hopefully in June. And it'll be basically a two-year project, I think, before it'll be done. But they hope to have it done by fall of 2015. Some local projects out this way on this end of the county. Some paving projects we'll be doing. County Road 33 from the city of Norbert out to the other park. That'll get repaved this part here for $1 million. If we don't do that, the state won't allow that project to move forward. We will get paid back and start with a $3 million increment in 2015, and then $1 million or $1.5 million thereafter. And I think in about 6 years, 7 years, we'll finally pay back. It gives you a little idea of what kind of financial situation MnDOT and the state are in. I think it'd be like if the county came to the city of Hamburg and said, we're going to do this road, but by God, borrow us the money if you could. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's what has happened. And that's the only way that's going to move forward. One other thing I'll touch on quickly. I am sure you read again in the paper that Carver's putting in a parking drive. We're going to have about 400 stalls down there. You'll go down 212, get off on Jonathan Carver Parkway, Mills Creek Farm, and take a right instead of going left. You'll go right, and then CDH, you all know it's pretty easy to go down 212 and get to Carver, but when you get a little bit farther east on 212 in the morning, it can be quite a challenge, so I lost a lot of warnings. And again, that one is going to start. Those bids for that project have been awarded, and they're going to start that when the frost gets out of the ground, basically, here. And that should be complete and ready to go by the fall of 2014. Other than that, we're working on some tax forfeiture legislation with the city of Norwood, and as well as city of Watertown. When I talked about that 101 bridge, one thing I didn't mention is it'll be just a little bit higher than the 1965 high water mark down there, which is the highest it's ever been, of course. So hopefully it'll be well out of the floodplain. And it's hard to believe, but there's 40,000 vehicles that cross that bridge in 41 and County Road 9. The three bridges have flooded out when we have a lot of flood water down there. So lots of vehicles have to go a long way around when those bridges are out. So hopefully this will help alleviate that. We're doing a bit of a trade-off. We're maybe not doing quite as much road work out here, but we'll be in the next couple of years. We've got some pretty extensive road work coming on our blacktop roads because of the cost of the 101 bridge and because of the cost of helping MnDOT. To get that, when that money starts coming back in, that'll get poured into some more roads up this way. With that, Mayor, or council members, if you have any questions, I'll try to field them.
Maybe you better go talk to the governor, that surplus they got. You know, that way the county wouldn't have to borrow money.
Don't get me started, Dave. My quick opinion is, their roads, they need so much money before they'll ever get caught up on their roads.
True.
Besides the likes of 212 ever being expanded, et cetera, et cetera. MnDOT doesn't even have 212 in their 20-year plan as of this past fall. So I don't really ever intend to do that, or how they ever intend to, I don't think we've ever got 212 as far as it is if we not had a lieutenant governor from the county. It's all about political power, really. And the folks down on Highway 14 between Mankato, West Seaport, Watonga through there, they had a really, really well-organized group. And if you would have watched them at the legislature the last few years, they're getting that road done.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, they did a lot of legwork and a lot of hollering and phone calling to get the attention of the government and the legislature. But yeah, it's sad to, they want to give half their surplus back. They could use that probably three times on their roads or five times or whatever. One other thing I should tell you, Highway 5, on their behalf, from 25 where it heads up to Mayor off Highway 5 into the city of Waconia, that corridor will be milled off, four-inch mill this summer, and a new top put on it, so that should help. That's a road that's in dire need of repair. but they have many of those. But that's one that I know is going on in the county. So.
Okay. I mean, you hear of the surplus, and then you say you know, the county has to borrow the state money.
First time I've ever seen or heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sad state of affairs.
And the public really doesn't know that.
Well, I think they will by the time the news gets out in the papers here as that project gets started. But yeah, you're right. Yeah.
No, that might get us a few of them stirred up to
hopefully
get on the phone. But
yeah, that's what it takes. Any other questions?
Has the county heard anything about the flood predictions for this spring?
As of the last, we've got, I can't think of the name right now, but a person that serves in that area does the EMS and stuff, and they bring out a flood prediction every week now.
Mm-hmm.
And as of now, they're saying that there's not enough moisture in most of the snow. That last heavy round, we had 7/10 in it. But before that, the rest of that should be drying up. But right now, they don't expect any severe flooding. You know, Mother Nature will decide
yeah.
to turn 60 one of these days, and it's all gone in a couple of days. But time will tell. We'll get a little break here now for a day or two. We have some things in the evenings. But as of right now, you know, that can change in one or two snowstorms and a real long period behind it. But hopefully not.
Right.
It'd be nice if we can get by this spring weather.
Do they have any idea how deep the frost depth is around here? I've heard it's up to 73 inches in parts of the state. I mean, it's severely, severely deep this year.
Well, I think you've all read in the paper about all the frozen pipes all over the creation.
Yep.
I have heard excavators, the Cologne, well, and Brad could probably attest to this. I know Rickenhausers were doing some wrecking. He told me a week ago in Brooklyn Center on a big building, and I don't know how deep the footings were. He said the frost was slightly below the footings. We said in a clear off spot, it's not hard to find 7 feet across. I've heard more than that. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but in my lifetime, I've never heard people talk about 7 feet across. You know.
Yeah. It's one of those special winters.
Yeah.
Anything else for council?
All our budgets have been challenged by this year. Any other questions?
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Appreciate it. We'll move on to old city business, our NIMS training program. I see on the emails that it has progressed. I like that. You are both. I know you're done. Or you got that three?
I just had number 700 to do. I haven't gotten around to doing it yet because I've been too busy. But other than that, we'll get her done.
Good. That's a step in the right direction. Appreciate it. Good job. City assessment policy. That's something we're going to have to get at sometime in the near future.
Ross will be hopefully coming out soon. So
yeah.
It'll be time to start thinking of street projects. So I'll be meeting sometime this month with the city engineer, so if you're around, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I want
to. I'll set something up with Justin, and then we can go over a lot of these type things with him.
Yeah.
Generator for lift station, I believe, scheduled for next Monday.
Yeah, it was supposed to be done yesterday and today, and I sent him an email confirming that, and they said, well, we thought it was the 17th and 18th, so that's when it's supposed to be done next week now.
And you never heard back from their side as to whether the frost was going to be an issue or not?
Oh, maybe I didn't send that to you. They have a big digger that they're going to take and put out a bobcat and just dig a hole down to the frost.
Well, we're hoping there isn't too much frost there, so...
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to pass anything this year.
Well, it'll be the sooner they can get it in, I think, the better for us with all this flooding, loss of power.
And the storms could be coming.
Yeah, and then that's around the corner, too. So.
And we lost power for 3 hours on Sunday, and everything worked fine. Greg was on the way, but by the time that they were calling him, I got the text message of the power failures. We got the generator up. Steve showed up. And we all pitched in for 3 hours and got stuck going.
I guess I didn't know anything about it this time other than I seen Greg had his truck with the generator running.
Yeah.
I got home, I had power. I had no interruption.
Well, yeah, and the sign had power and the bar had power, but we didn't have power here. And I was talking to Jeremy about that. He says we get fed from a couple of different directions.
That'll be one phase out there or something. Yeah.
There's one of the three phases out, and whoever's on that phase. Yeah. I think there's three phases at that.
Yeah.
But the generator over here, she started up the valve. The other one down there, we must have hit it just right because we say, oh, what happened here? It wasn't calling for no juice, so the pumps weren't running. It was just, but then she kicked in the valve, but the landing station was ready to go. So that was pretty good.
Phones, internet service for city. I did get them to send me a contract. I finally got it yesterday. As I looked through it, though, I noticed it's for 3 years. I guess I was going to bring it forth to the council's attention if they have any issues with signing a 3-year. My personal thought was to see if I could negotiate if they would just do the first contract for a year, and then if we were happy after that, then maybe we could sign into a 3-year contract.
I'd run that by them.
And see if they would be open to that.
What if they're not?
I guess they're not.
If they're not, then any objections to signing on for 3 years?
Well, if they won't go for one, see if they'll go for two.
Yeah. And then I'll work my way.
Or 18 months, something, you know?
Yeah. I'll work with them on that.
All righty. Anything else pertaining old city business? Mr. Schultz, Public Works. It appears you've had your hands full here lately.
Yeah, it's been. Not what I signed up for.
Well, it's a heck of a welcome, isn't it?
It's been a challenge, yes. You guys are all aware we got Kurt Reitz on staff now for the sewer and water. He has been very good. He's a teacher when we had the other one. He didn't teach anything. He didn't want to work himself out of the job. Kurt was basically, like you said, he said, I'm here to work myself out of the job. We're paying him, I believe, 4 hours a week according to the contract. He's here six for sure, if not more. But he's not charging for it. He's in the process of, you know, he's learning the system. He's taking the manuals home and stuff like that. Like I said, he said, when I'm here, and you're working right with me, which is good because I said, I've learned a lot since he's been here. And he went out to the ponds for the first time out there, and there's some things that should have been done. They're all kind of froze up now, so we want to try and put some weeds and let some water out or something where it's the situation. Hopefully get some melting going in that. Should have been some insulation put on top of the gates and stuff, which I didn't know.
Totally include in either.
There will be from here on out for years to come. But I guess he's doing really well. I think he's doing the reporting too now or whatever he did the last month. Yeah.
Yep.
So he knows his stuff.
There's a class coming up in April here on wastewater ponds and stuff that they hopefully can.
Yes, like 2.5.
2.5.
St. Cloud-ish?
New Ulm.
New Ulm. Yeah, he said it's a very good class and strongly suggested going to that. And then he said with me, he said after that class, I could actually try and test out and see, like, get my license. But he suggested waiting till fall and then going back. Testing, he said, because that way we'll have time to work with the ponds.
A little more experience.
Yeah, more experience and stuff. He said, when you got the hands-on, you're actually out there, he said, you're looking over the ponds and you're seeing different levels and stuff. He said, that's what, it's a lot of math. And he said, if you know what they're talking about, you could visually see it when it's on paper, he said, it makes everything so much easier. Yeah. So I plan on going to that class with Jeremy, and like I said, probably definitely in the fall for that wastewater D. As you know, we got the service laterals are freezing up in the street because of the frost. Been kind of a pain, but everybody's going through it. It's new. There's no manuals on this stuff. Everybody's kind of calling, what are you guys doing? I talked to the city of Oconee and some others, and we have been getting a company out of the sewer, O'Brien Plumbing, which Mike has been very good. Right now we're running 50-50. We got two of them frozen up that we still don't have water, but we got it. One through a wall and one through a garden hose out to the neighbors. And everybody's happy. So that's basically what we're looking for. It's, like I said, it's been a challenge. And sent out some things for people that are on it. And hopefully everybody does, because I think you said there's a drop again now. It's warming up.
Yeah, yesterday was the coldest. It was 31.9 coming out of the faucet.
So as it warms up, the frost gets pushed down, so it'll be a while yet. I would guess probably at least a month. So with that, we're putting about 40 to 50,000 gallons a day. We should be okay. We're monitoring that, doing a bunch of number crunching and stuff. So, normally it's about half of that. But
and it's going to go up if it starts thawing too a little bit. There's going to be some infiltration in some places yet. So.
Yeah. There's not. Actually, we were out there. The ponds aren't too filled up with snow. And on the top, it's pretty much blown. The roads are pretty much blown clear. So I don't think we'll have a lot of issues with that, hopefully. But, they were drained down last fall. And so, like I said, hopefully, and if need be, then we just apply for emergency release permit or whatever. So, but like I said, we're watching that pretty close. So I got a new cell phone. Works great. So
phone number same?
No.
No. No, it's not.
Send it out to the council instead of over the air.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Let's see. With the snow on the fire department here yesterday, the snow shifting off of the roof took off one of our roof stacks off of the heater on the east wall over here. And so if you guys see it, it's bent over. A little water leaking in there now. I will get that taken care of. I wonder if we shouldn't, and that's not the first time that's happened, I wonder if we shouldn't look at maybe putting
them cutters or what?
One of them cutters, either that or they actually look like the snow vents on there. It's just basically a, so that it doesn't slide in that area. You don't want to really put them all the way along because you want the snow off, but like I said, maybe just in front of the stack so that the stuff doesn't move and peel them off.
Yes.
A lot of wet heavy, so maybe look into that too. But like I said, I know it's not the first time it's happened over the years. I know that's happened before. So we got the door over here. It's been getting harder and harder to open, and just a pulling on it. I mean, the handle of that big lock system is, just pulled the thing off, just trying to open it. So we kind of shut it down today and put some stuff on there and caution tape and a thing in there, and hope that everybody kind of adheres to it. Justin talked about the ice situation over there. Well, the only thing we can do, and I know there's a cost to it, but possibly put some kind of lean-to or something over that door, because you know the melting is melting, and I can throw salt there. I haven't put salt at all winter long. It just it runs off of the roof, and basically what's going to happen is just going to basically move that ice 4 feet out into the parking lot is what's going to happen.
Like a partial gutter?
Well, what happens is, you can see with these, you know, the gutters freeze up and it just runs right over anyway. So.
I was just thinking put like an 8-foot piece open, you know, further to the north and let it run.
That's
you know.
Yeah, like I said.
But we might have to do something with that cement slab too, the way it sounds, because it's leaning
yeah.
towards the building.
Well, that's just part of the process. That's going to happen again next year too.
Okay, I didn't know if that was always that way or if it's just coming now.
It's moved. So
yeah.
Everything's moved up. If you look at the apron where the trucks are, there's cracks by the poles that they've been sealed and they're pulled apart. So like I said, like right outside here on the steps, there's a big walkway. It's just, even my driveway at home, I got a few cracks in my driveway that have never moved. They're up that far this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And about that wide. So that just goes to show you that frost is really creating havoc.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think a lot of these things will just wait to assess when the frost is out of the ground, because if you do anything now,
it's
wasted time.
Like I said, you know, generally when the frost goes out, that concrete should come up. We'll watch it, but like I said, it's more like this now. Like I said, you can see that the frost has a huge up too. And if you can put new concrete in there, but it's going to happen the same thing next year. Or if you get this kind of frost.
Right. Okay.
So,
well, Greg, if you don't mind just stepping back to the freezing water service laterals. What we run into is when we get a phone call on this, like Greg said, we're all new to this. So our first line of our option is to do what they call a jetter, is to jet the line with hot water or steam it. So that's kind of our first option. And like Greg said, that's about a 50% success rate right now. What I wanted to talk about with this issue was what are possible next steps. I've also heard others running electricity. I've just heard horror stories and nightmares with running electricity. And even a few of the guys we've talked to aren't comfortable doing it. It's kind of a last resort. So what I would like is for council to be thinking about, as long as us, we'll keep working on it, what other measures we can take so we can make sure we can provide water for these people. The other thing we talked about, now it's warming up, hopefully we'll get the average of the 30s where we can, you know, do the garden hoses here as an option. But after that, I guess I don't know what to do. I mean, we don't want to have to dig up. We're looking at anywhere, you know, 2,500 to 5,000 per dig up right now. And it's probably going to be closer to that 5,000 mark because of the depth of the frost. And also, I've just heard nightmares of trying to even get down to these pipes with the frost. I mean, it's...
You're going
to
break more stuff.
Exactly. The frost is so tightly wrapped around things right now that if you do that, you risk breaking the line and disrupting, you know, the system with the water mains, too. So, like I said, I think I'm kind of at a loss here because everybody's kind of trying to put their heads together to come up with that manual. Okay, this don't work, try this. So really we're kind of just throwing things in the hat and seeing what's working right now. But also I think the city needs to think of what they're going to do or how they're going to get these people water when this happens, because I don't think we're out of the clear yet. Everybody I've talked to said this is just the start of it. I'm hoping people are listening. I hope people are taking them notices seriously. Obviously a few haven't, and they're paying for it. So I really want to, well, that too, yeah, exactly. But I think Adam's here with the paper. He's going to write something up in the paper about it, let people know. You know, we talked yesterday about this. I don't know what else we can do other than to, you know, if you see your neighbors, to make sure they are running their water. I think it's probably our best preventive measure we can take.
Yeah, I talked to four different people on Saturday, and all four of them were running their water. still frozen up, but she's running off of Richard Wentland's now. She was running hers for 3 days, and she said she just plain old forgot. She turned the sink off that night when she got a drink of water, and the next morning, boom, it was frozen up, and we couldn't get it open.
And I guess you can understand that because the natural inclination is turn the water off. But, I mean, these people that say, well, no, it's not going to happen to me, you know, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's one thing that gets under me a little bit. Why is it we're spending the time and effort to chase after their kind of, what do you want to call it, not paying attention?
Right.
You know, we've sent out two notices. I think there should maybe be another one that if you haven't turned it on, we could be running over half of the town, you know, if they aren't doing it.
Well, and I think, you know, they could get complacent because now it's warm outside, so they figure, well, now it's not going to be a problem. But the problem is probably worse now than it's been in the past, potentially.
You know, so, but, I mean, how long can we just, you know, pay $200 an hour?
Well, exactly.
Yeah, it's $200 an hour, and what I've noticed for sure is it's a minimum of at least an hour and a half of pulsating the hot water to get them open, and then you got the time for him to, you know, take his machine off and put the meters back on and everything else.
So I don't know if there's travel time.
I don't know.
You know,
and we're actually fees and stuff like that. He said, like, generally, he said they go up after, I think it's after 4 in the afternoon, they double, or they go up to $400 an hour, and on weekends it's $400 an hour. So, I mean, at $200 an hour, probably getting a pretty good deal.
Yeah, because I called around, he was one of the cheapest ones. Most are $250
yeah.
to that $400.
What place is available?
Yes.
Very good to work with. Like, we were working on Vicky's, and then when I was trying to open the catch basin at Martha, and then right on across the street, came over and goes, "Hey, Schultz, you just got one of these. I don't have any water." I said, "Were you running it?"
No.
So when he did his and got his open, did we figure out, was that once again in the street?
Yeah, because they were measuring it. Mm-hmm. What they did, they kind of measured, because that one runs, that water main runs about 10 feet off of the curb on the other side of the street, and he measures as he goes. Yep. So they figured that. And they knew when they were in the street, were ready.
Basically.
And they went, and then they hit something, and then it just slowly worked its way in.
So all of them were finding their bend in the street.
Yeah. Yeah, they're freezing in the street. So.
I would agree with the mayor, though. Let's, you know, send something out for the third time and let people know, hey, this is an issue. Don't be fooled by the warm weather.
Yeah.
This is going to be an issue for a while. This is what you need to do. And if you don't need to do it, then there's an accountability factor that needs to be taking place.
Yeah, talking to him on Saturday morning, he went and he's from the sewer, and he went and had breakfast in St. Peter with some of the utility guys from St. Peter. They got over 70 crews ups there. And what they were doing was they got some jetters, but they also tried to weld the electricity, and they started the house on fire.
Oh, jeez.
So
they don't want that.
Don't want to do that.
That was on the news. So,
right.
We were thinking about that option, and then what I did was I had called Vicky, and I said, well, here's the deal. I said, you got, you know, spare electricity that could go either way and follow the water and stuff. I said, you're going to need to unplug all your electronics and everything. And she said, absolutely not. She said, I don't want to burn my house down.
I wouldn't want to
blow all my computers or anything like that. So our other option was what we ended up doing. It kind of worked out for us because Ryan Herman does systems and stuff, and when he looks them up, a lot of times the problems is they got the outdoor spigots. Well, he'll cut them off and hook his thing into it. So he actually gave us a spigot because hers on her house wasn't compatible for back heating it or whatever. So the one that we got, we took apart, we took the backwash valve out of it so we could run from house to house. So it worked out. She's And she said she's probably got more water pressure now than what she had before. She's got a lot of pressure issue over there. So, yeah, I guess it's so far people have done pretty good too. So.
And then to kind of avoid the idea of someone accidentally turning their faucet off like it happened, I would, you know, suggest that people turn on their utility faucet in their utility room.
I've told them that. That's what I tell everybody. So that way, it's not the kitchen one where you're constantly on and off, and then you forget. I've tried to tell people that to do the. Typically, what you want to do is the one closest to the water meter coming in the basement, and then something like you said, if you have a utility room downstairs or something where one, you don't have to hear it, and two, where you're not accessing all the time, where your natural instinct is to turn it off. So we have been feeding that to people too.
People are concerned about the salt usage then for soft water. I tell them, I said, you got a hard water tap like I do in the kitchen for drinking water. That's the one I run. That one's not good enough. You know, the freezer softener, salt and everything, but salt is.
Salt price, small price to pay right now for both the liner and the water.
And there's a lot of houses that don't have a hard water tap, and I mean that. A lot of them are all soft water too. And if they're concerned about that, then they're going to plug that in.
A month, it's either a month or two of paying for salt or just having some hard water or none at all.
They had a $200 an hour bill.
People come and ask, so you go through the whole thing with them.
They changed that.
That picture that Jeremy has there, you know, you have shown that picture, you have explained to him that, you know, there's a loop and, you know, that's where it's freezing in the loop in the street and stuff. And
is
once you show him the picture and stuff, you understand a little better too, so.
What about hooking up a garden hose to their outside faucet now that it's warmer? I mean, if it's down to 20 degrees, it's not going to work. But, I mean, we know that this frost is going to be there for at least another month, I would guess. How about if they hook a garden hose up to their outside faucet and let that trickle?
Well, that's our second option right now. After that, we're searching for options, right? Would you say first option is try to jet it? Get it open.
He's talking about running the water outside.
He's running
outside.
Outside, then you don't have to worry about the soft water issue.
I still wouldn't do it because you're running that water. And
that's 10,000 gallons a month.
Yeah, that's or house. I think you're better off if you're running in your house or whatever, then you don't have to stand a chance all of a sudden it gets really cold on that and it freezes everything and then they say, well, let's see.
Yeah. And then it cracks, breaks or something, and then it's another liability issue.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd recommend that.
Well, what's the feeling here, Therese? Send out another notice?
I would say send out a third notice and just let them know that these are things you want to do. Don't be fooled by the warm weather. Uh-huh. And, you know, any questions, give us a call. But it's time for accountability to be taken.
Now, there's got to be a little bit of responsibility and help.
But I think you just explain them to us that it's costing us $200 an hour. And this will affect your water rates if we continue to have issues. Yeah. Maybe that'll get the point across.
Yeah.
Well, again, if you're going to send out another notification, you have to remind people that this frost is very deep, and it's going to take a while for the warmth to actually penetrate that far. So they're like you said, if they're being fooled by warmer weather outside, that doesn't mean the ground's warm.
And I have reiterated that to people. I just really wish I had a tape recording for when people call me or come in, to be honest.
But we spent a lot of time just talking to people,
beating that into people's heads.
People will come and stop on the street. Hey, let's see some of this water. We really have to run. So, you know, it takes 10, 15 minutes, but once you explain it to them, I think it kind of sinks in a little bit too. And so, yeah, like I said, we're not the only ones. And there's, you know, was a corporate that had 77 2 weeks ago already. And California, we're talking to Doug there. He had 3 that day that I talked to him, and I asked him, I said, would you consider running your water? He's, you know, he said, we got 4,000 water services in the city. He said, that's a lot of water. So they didn't know what they were going to do either.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him a call once and see what they decided.
Yeah, maybe if you illustrate the math on there, and just let people know, hey, this is what the potential cost could be.
Yeah.
Help us out. Show them the dollar and sign cents.
And that's not even saying that once this dog's out, these lines aren't open in the street.
Right.
You know, I was talking to him. He had one the day before, on a Friday, that I guess the city of the sewer doesn't help the people with nothing. They don't want to do anything. They won't do anything for them, which I guess the people are pretty upset about. But he got one open, and all of a sudden, he said, all the water was coming through the cracks and block of the wall.
Ooh.
Well, guess what? He got it open. It was frozen all the way, but it was also frozen out of the ground.
Cracked.
It was cracked. So he said, then the utilities have to go and they have to shut the water off and dig that up or whatever. So, but, and that could happen to us too. I mean, these things are froze. There's no guarantee that, that the pipes are going to hold either.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't have that. But it's not part of it. And then I guess my last thing, I've just been, doing a lot of trying to bust ice around so we don't have lakes on the streets and stuff like that. And trying to widen some streets here and there, and hopefully Mother Nature has been helping a little bit with that. The snow has been dropping pretty good here, so. Yeah. I just have one question. You have given talked to Jeremy about a hole in the floor in the men's bathroom in the downstairs. What are you talking about there?
In the men's room, there's basically, well, for Dennis must have done some plumbing work at some time a while back, and I noticed it a year or two ago. And basically, there's a hole in the floor in the tiling where there's new pipe that was soldered in. And I talked to him about, I brought it up at one of the meetings. Well, what he did was he cut a piece of plywood and just shoved it over the hole. He didn't fix anything. Now, obviously, it's not a pressing problem only because no one really uses that downstairs bathroom. Because I haven't gone, I don't think there's anything like that in the female, in the ladies' bathroom. I've never been in that one, but yeah, it's just like I said. There was some plumbing that he did or someone did. They cut in some new lines because you can see that they're newly soldered, or they were at the time. But he never filled in the hole. It's just it's a hole with a bunch of dirt in the bottom of it. All the tiling is gone. So at some point in time, it does need to be fixed because it is a safety hazard.
See, what that is they got the lines that come down out underneath the floor, and then it comes up, and it's got a meter.
Exactly.
And that's the meter for the hall. I think the best thing to do would be to box it in. And I didn't know if that's what you were talking about or not, but, because it's kind of ugly how it is, because the meter's just boom, and if somebody wants to, they can jump on that meter and take the place and boom, we got water all over. But I don't know, is that what, the meter's going to have to stay where it's at. So like I said, that's just sticking out in the open there.
Again, it's a safety hazard. And like I said, what Dennis did is he just cut that piece of plywood and slid it over there just to cover the hole.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's fine for a temporary fix, but again, it does need to be fixed permanently at some point in time.
Greg, do you think we could just box it off and it wouldn't impede on...
It wouldn't impede anything like that.
I don't think we should box it off.
You got the sink and you got this open area on the side. The three urinals are across the thing. I think I'm just going to box it in, stain some wood, put a cover on that I can open up so I can read the meter. And I think that's probably going to do that. Because, like I said, the meter's going to have to stay there.
Because we probably want that meter protected too, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
We don't see it in the wide open, so it makes sense to box it off.
Some kids climb on there. Guess what? That's just copper pipe.
Yeah, like I said, it's not a huge uses that down there, but when people do go down there, or if they go down there, then that's a potential lawsuit for the city if somebody hurts themselves. In fact, it's a huge, potential huge lawsuit. So.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I'll just build the box. I'll just box it in there and, do it with a nice wooden stand or something.
Greg, have you seen that Class A chimney that's behind the community hall by the stairway?
Yeah.
Have you noticed how battered up that is? Is that a functional chimney or not?
Yeah, that's
it's really kind of been through the war.
It's been like that for a long time.
That's been like that forever.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what beat that up like that. That's 8 feet up.
It's out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, it is. It's just chimneys and real leather, so it's still kind of functional and stuff. One way to get rid of that is that's another thing I was going to bring up, and that's something for budgets in the future. But like I said, that heater that's down there in the thing, that thing is older than gold. I know it's not efficient at all. It runs all the time. So somewhere in the future, I think what we should maybe do is try and do like two smaller heaters, one in my part of the shop and one in the back part of the shop. Because right now we close that wall off, and there's a couple little vents up there. But like I said, if you guys go down and look at that, I would be. I heard that thing was came out of the old farmhand building used way back when.
Uh-huh.
That's where that came from. So.
And that's the only heater that's down in that old basement?
That's the only heater down there. Yeah.
That's ancient.
If you put something else in there, that would be a little more efficient.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need that big pipe, that old liquid supply line. You could just have, like the other ones do, a little pipe that comes out with a cover on it. It would actually make it easy. I think it gets beat up because a lot of people haul stuff up and down on steps. And that thing is kind of right there, and that's what that thing gets beat up. So, but yeah, it's still functional. I mean, it's not that it's kinked off. It's not rust. It's really anything. But yeah, I've noticed it's beat up for sure.
Well, if we have Metro Air come out to look at this, we'll try and mention that to them, and maybe they can put something together for us.
Kind of estimate or something. Yeah.
An idea and the cost.
Like I said, I would suggest that being we got that wall there, I would suggest going two smaller ones. Because right now, like I said, we got that wall. And the first thing I do in the morning when I get there is I open the doors. And it's day and night. I mean, it's 10, 15 degree difference between the two. And of course, the thermostat, it's on my side of the shop. So you go there and it's not getting the heat there either. I just keep it at 60 anyway. But like I said, I think we're probably wasting a lot of natural gas. We just haven't had anything run down there. Sure. Something in the future.
Anything else for Greg?
The only other thing I had on there was just the road maintenance agreement. This is just kind of the draft. The county's coming out with agreements with the county roads through towns. So just something to look through.
Can we get Exhibit A, B, and C, though, at some point in time?
Yeah, I can email them and get them. But I think that was just, this was just a sample they sent from Oconia, so you could see kind of what they're doing. A, B, and C will relate to the roads.
Yeah.
You know, which roads.
Reading through
them. Ours may not be A, B, and C, though.
Oh, okay.
It may just be Exhibit A.
Okay. I was wondering. I'm
smaller.
Like, I didn't think we had
so
three.
I think the exhibits were in relation to, you know, certain roads.
Yeah, basically, I think what the county's doing is just updating it.
I don't
know if it's been updated since the
50s.
Yeah.
We've been through that.
We've been talking about it ever since I've been here to get it done. And
so,
it's finally in the works.
Okay. One thing, Greg, is here yet. Like last spring, we kind of changed the route for the garbage trucks not going through the alley. It's getting to that time. Is that something you want to do again? Or so they don't let them all up, tear them all up?
Makes sense. We've been doing almost every year, haven't we?
I think last year we started it, or two years ago. So I don't know if it's something we take as a norm or bring it up. Because there's usually always a little discussion.
Well,
I think it saves the families.
Every year, or I don't know, every time they come, it seems like they got a bigger truck. I mean, they're getting big.
Well, they're combining Green Isle with us, and who knows all.
I mean, that makes sense.
It's just a matter of we have to send out our notices again to those affected, right?
Yes.
Do you have a kind of a list on them?
I hope so. I don't have the letter, but as far as the list, you know, I'll have to look, see if I put something together. Otherwise, I can just look at names. And
what's the council's feelings?
I think it's a good idea.
I know for some it's a little more of an inconvenience, but it's
what are you thinking? Starting
soon?
Soon, yeah. It's down the rock in the hours.
Okay.
Wouldn't hurt next week.
Did anybody complain last year about having that done?
There was one or
they
two.
They complain every year because they got to take their garbage.
But I mean, most people are understanding or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, most are.
They understand the deal.
But then they got to bring it, if they're off the ailing, they got to bring it to the front yard. And I know this year I'll probably get more complaints than not because of the snow cover. That's going to be the problem. Because if you got somebody in the alley and you got 2 feet of snow in your yard and you got to try to get that to the front of your yard, yeah, I can guarantee you we're going to get a lot of feedback this year.
A lot of them have walkways down that hill. I mean,
then if they drive through the alley to get their car in the garage, they won't be able to because they're tore up, you know.
I'll just hand out council member numbers. We'll be good.
I don't care.
Send my way.
We'll deal with it.
1-800. Anything else for Greg? Otherwise, I'd like to thank you for your added time. I mean, it's over and beyond, but what do you do?
It is, yeah.
We didn't put the order in for this.
Yeah.
No, neither did you, you know, so.
I'm asking you, I'm really glad we got the new bottle. That was really saved a lot of time.
So isn't that a heck of a welcome back from Hawaii or whatever?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You know, unfortunately, I wasn't here when the first water freeze-ups and stuff came, and, you know, here in the snow and then seeing a couple of pictures, I was like, thinking about sending my life back and selling everything and just bring the dog back, you know. Staying out there. So, yeah.
All right.
All right.
Well, thanks.
You've done a good job. Thank you.
Oh, Schulte, by the way, due to is D-U-E.
Huh?
Your sign out there says it's due to frost, it's D-U-E, not D-O.
He's had a long week.
You got to put a little humor into that.
I just thought I'd mess with you a little bit.
Good one.
Thanks, Greg.
Jeremy.
All right, 2004 annual area guide. Basically, what we've been done the last few years is just basically put the hall ad in the area guide with the city's website address there. Fourth of a page is $220.
That's what we've been doing.
We used to be able to do an eighth, but now I think the minimum you can do is a fourth. The last couple of years. So I just would ask council's wishes on the annual area guide.
I think we've got to participate. Council?
Is that kind of all the advertising that we do?
Well, we do some, I know, like in the area to the west.
We do a lot with the mall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, get the word out that it's there and available.
They'll find out Harold, like over here, Arlington Shopper. And then all the New York Times, all their papers in their winning guide.
Yeah. There's a motion. Motion is seconded to again go at the quarter page in the Norwood Young America, what do you call it? The
area guide.
Area guide. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Just finishing up the financial audit. The auditors will be here at the next meeting in April. think everything went pretty good considering the workload. But we were able to get through the audit, and I think things went well. So they'll be here at the next meeting to give council an update on their findings. Employee handbook. I think, you know, really not to get in depth to it tonight, but maybe the personnel committee will have to set a date here, and we'll have to sit down and go through. There are a lot of policies, I guess, we need that we didn't have that have been drafted up for us, so we need to go through them and then some of the suggestions from the attorney.
I guess it doesn't really surprise me.
No, it doesn't me either. It's been a while since that's been done, and the laws change, it seems like, every session, so yeah.
Okay.
Meter reading equipment. Basically, me and Councilmember Odoms, we went and sat in on a meeting with that census put on. And I think a lot of what they touched on was maybe out of our reach as far as financially. They got some pretty extensive equipment systems out there. So they can do some amazing stuff that basically can ping any water meter you want. You can go online and ping any water meter and get the reading whenever you want.
Can we get five of them?
And they're even... Well, just the starter packs are $10,000 to $20,000. I mean, you got to buy the software. It's quite expensive. But it is kind of nice because they are even working on meters where you can send out a signal. You don't have to worry about curb stops anymore. And it'll turn the valve. Boom, they got no water.
Nice.
So that's some of the new technology that I liked. Yeah. I would like to see in the water meters. And you have to deal with curb stops. But kind of what I got out of the meeting, and I think steps for us to take or look at is, what did they say, meters are 90% accurate for the first 10 years, and then after about 20 years, they're about 80%, and they go downhill from there. Well, in talking to Greg, we have a number of meters are probably at that 20, maybe 30 mark, and they suggested every 15 to 20 replacing your meters because you're losing revenue.
Didn't we have kind of a policy that we were?
Well, we were. Dennis did it for a while, and then that faded out the last couple of years. But the first thing I think we should do, what we should do, is look at changing out meters and then also eliminating all them square boxes that we have on the house that are the click reads because they're not accurate. They basically said them wear out. They don't read what's inside. So... if you don't go inside often enough, you don't know whether them two are communicating because if that, they just have a lot of problems with that. That's old, outdated material. That's, what, 30-plus years old now? So if we get to, first thing I'd suggest is changing out so many meters a year and then getting the touch read meters out because the touch read actually reads what the meter is. So that way you're getting the same reading instead of two different readings. Because another thing I'd like to do, if we just had the time, it'd be great to just be able to, just once a year even here, this year, is get all the inside meter readings. So if I could see what kind of discrepancies we have. Or maybe, I thought even if we just do 10, 20 random homes throughout town that we know have older meters, so we could check them, and that would kind of give us a, you know, rough idea of what the meters are doing, the outside readers anyways. So I think as far as for monies we have, I think them are the best things, you know, to do or a place to start. I'd love to have these systems. They looked amazing, but I don't know, Mr. Rogue, you got anything to add on?
Well, the other thing is, I guess I didn't know this and realize it until we went to that meeting, but it was really informative. But those meters are only good for 20 years, and then the battery goes to hell, and then
they're done.
Then you have to replace the whole unit. You just don't replace the battery. So in 20 years, we have to replace all the meters again.
Yep.
Oh, my.
So that was a consideration that I was kind of surprised about.
Nice thing is they guarantee them for 20. What, for the first 10, then prorated,
they're
right?
They're prorated, yeah, if it goes out before 20, yeah.
Yeah, but the technology and equipment that's out there is... looks pretty amazing. Yeah. I mean, even now they said we could probably go out in the parking lot with this new technology, with the new radio read technology, and just 45 seconds have all the readings.
Cost us a couple of bucks to get set up, though.
Yeah.
Just a few. So I think for our part anyways, I mean, we need to kind of step into the next era of water meters, at least getting to the touch reads. So.
Well, you know, and I talked to that one guy, too, that was out here, you know, last fall and talked to you, and I explained to him what the situation is, that we don't have $15,000 that we can replace all the half of the meters that had to be brought up to date and whatnot. And so I said, we originally were talking about that $8,000 package and reading the half of the meters that we can do with that. And so I said, that was, you know, kind of what we were going to do, but then we decided maybe changing out all the meters first. And he said, probably what we should do is go with that basic program. And so I guess I would suggest that maybe it's a good idea to have him come out here as an expert and give us his best advice and best shot on what we should do based on our unique situation. And he did say that, you know, you get this automatic reading thing, that's gonna dramatically cut down, you know, your data entry time and whatnot, because you just plug it into your computer and it uploads it. So I think Jeremy's got a good idea that we've got to get all the meters updated, but, you know, can we do, I don't know, what does the council think about having that guy out and explaining to him what our situation is?
I think we should have him, like you said, have him come on. But let's not have him at a council meeting because it gets too late.
And that's fine, yeah.
You do some kind of a special meeting.
I don't see why he can't come out and
talk to you,
meet with me, and just put some type of written assessment together.
Yeah. But I can't see replacing all the meters at once, because then 20 years from now, I got to replace them all once again. Mm-hmm. That's a big cost, you know. If you can spread it out, that would be little better, you know. Mm-hmm. But how many meters are in town?
About 210.
210.
About 210 services.
There you go. Every 4 years, try to do something. I don't know.
But half of those are compatible with the new system, right?
Yeah.
So we're only looking at 100 and something.
Right.
Well, how many?
About half of them, I think.
How many is $8,000 buy?
It buys you the system, buys you the program.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh.
But he said now that, because he'd sent me another email too, that he said that the meters are like $120, but they got some kind of a promo going.
At first, you got to get the program, right?
No.
And we can hook onto half of them what we got, you said?
I'd really have to sit down with him to see what the program is or what. Because, I mean, if we buy the program and it's not compatible with the majority of the water meters, it seems like a waste.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd have to sit down with him and do some type of cost analysis and assessment on it. Plus, we'd probably have to get him access so he can see what type of meters we do have before really we can make any movement on it.
Okay. And he also says we'll move on.
It'll probably be a summer thing for me.
Yeah.
With the warm weather, I got to thinking and looking, and I seen our mosquito control contract is up. Is that something we want to continue to pursue?
I would say yes.
Definitely. I can email Clark Mosquito Control and have them shoot a price. I don't know anybody else that does it. I know they do most the area around here. Mm-hmm. So because they usually coordinate with Norwood, and so we get a better deal. So
how much do they charge us a year for that?
It's like $280 an application.
And they do that how many times this summer?
Through summer, eight applications, is it? Is that what we do? I think it's eight every other week. Yeah. Usually on a Wednesday night, is it?
I think Thursday. When it's Zimmerfest, I think they do it on Thursday night.
Yeah, yeah. then we try to either have an extra one for Summerfest or schedule it so they come Summerfest. And you always have the option to add or take off or move around.
Is there a reason why we would want to look for somebody else to do it?
No, I've been, I mean,
I guess I haven't seen any skiers out here.
I guess I don't even know anybody else that does it.
So you also take on that Twitter contract?
Yeah, so I'll have them put something together for us again with a 1-year option and a 3-year option again.
Where do you stop actually?
Is it Clearwater? I'd have to look. Don't quote me on that.
Whatever.
But I know they do. I know they do. Do Norwich too. The same company.
I'll get a quote from them.
Alright, so I will work on from them. And then also waste management contract is up.
I'd like to see us do an RFP again.
Okay. Alright, so I will put together an RFP for next meeting. I'll just basically put together what we had for last time and maybe look at fine-tuning a little bit, make sure we get no-cost cleanup in there.
Well, and do we have to take the lowest bid, the city, if we go out for bid? Do we?
You don't, but you have to justify it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't take the lowest bid, you have to justify why.
From a resident, I don't have a problem with their service or their price. Where I've got the problem is what happened up here during the recycling.
Where I have a problem with is their billing. Constantly just getting things straight. They have gotten better over it. One, I think they have such a high turnover there. So I think that's part of the problem too. But, honestly, I haven't seen anybody be able to come in and compete with their prices.
Yeah.
But I know Elite Waste out of Jordan is very interested. So
we set it out there. Now they know kind of the playing field.
Yeah.
What they're up against.
Well, and I think you should do it anyways every 3 years. Just keep them honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
As far as Community Hall, the incident we had with the insurance claim there for the garage door. Greg's going to kind of wait till it warms up. Because like you said, that heater's running. He's got it bent so where it's somewhat working. But we'll probably have to replace the bottom 3 panels of that door. And so Greg's going to work on getting an estimate for that and then have something done in spring when it's warmer. Otherwise, all that heat's going to be gone. So that just makes sense. So no real update on that. One thing we kind of talked about last meeting that I wanted to discuss some of the hours I've worked, like in January.
Thank you.
In February is, like in January, roughly worked about an extra 20 hours, and in February about 36 hours. I guess what I'm looking at is one of the things I don't mind donating or giving some hours and understanding salary, but there was a lot of hours I put in due to lack of a deputy clerk. I think I saved the city a lot of money by working at home, prepping for the audit, which would have been an additional $1,500 if the auditors would have did that work. And also, when Greg was on vacation, that time alone when Greg was gone, I put in 18 hours, which was him putting in overtime. So I guess my thing is that the council would even consider compensating me for any of my time.
I guess I know how hard and how much Jeremy works, and he's the go-to guy when people aren't around. When Greg was gone, you know, I helped Jeremy as much as I could. And Jeremy, what you've done and where you've stepped up and handled things being without a deputy clerk and Greg being gone and all this kind of stuff, I think basically, I don't have any question at all. I trust your integrity and your honesty and whatever you think is right and whatever you're comfortable with, I would certainly wholeheartedly support. Because I know the job that you do, I know the frustration level that you reach. And yours is not an easy job. You just don't sit here and answer phones and send out water bills. And so I personally don't have any question, or I don't have any problem at all with what you're submitting. And if you want time off, fine. If you want money for it, that's fine. I would support whatever way you want to go 100%, because I know the dedication that you have and the job that you do.
Well, I guess my thing, like I said, when we have meetings and that stuff and I stay, I don't have a problem with that. But when it takes away from me being at home.
Well, and you're supposed to be here for 2 hours to do the rounds, and you're here until 3 o'clock in the afternoon because stuff comes up. Of course you should be compensated for that. An hourly person would be compensated for that, especially on weekends. You know, and so you're the first guy that they're going to go to. If I have to do the rounds or whatever, I don't mind doing that because, you know, that's just part of my job as a council member. And so I think, like I say, whatever you think is fair and whatever you want, I would totally support because I know the job that you've
got. So what are you looking at, 58-inch showers? How many hours?
Well, actually, kind of what I put together is I put in like 19.75 extra and 36. But what I looked at it, to be fair, what I'd like to be comp for is when I had to take work home and work on the weekends.
Yeah, but you don't leave here at 4:30 in the afternoon. I see you up here at 6:30 at night.
I look at my norm, right?
So what did you put together?
So what I put together, like you can see on the upper left corners, kind of what I've looked at is you can see 19.75. Yeah. I guess you could say that'd be overtime hours. What I would look at, like getting reversed in January, is 11.75. As far as February, I have 36 hours above the 40, you know, on average. So I worked the extra 36 hours that month. I figured about 25 of them were in relation to, you know, but mainly February, probably most of that was, you know, filling in for Greg there. Because if you look the 1 week, it was basically 14 extra hours I put in that week, and that was strictly dealing with the water freeze-ups.
Well, but when you're doing that, you can't do your clerk work, and so then you got to stay after going home time to do your clerk work.
What do you have proposed? Do you have a
hourly? I guess I just say it by regular hourly rate because I'm salary. But I just feel these were things above and beyond the norm.
So
like I said, it was 11.75 hours in January, which I feel would be 25 hours in February.
Okay.
Like the other hours, I would, you know, would donate because, like, some of the times it's meetings or.
I make a motion that January would go.
I guess I don't know what council's thoughts are.
11.75 hours in January and 25 hours in February.
So it is regular rate.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded to grant the 19.75 and the 11.75 and the 25. And regular rate for the additional time in January and February. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
It's a deal.
And then, before I get to the last item, I got two other things here. I've been getting quite a few complaints with the cats now. Humane Society. I've talked to the CSO. I've talked to other towns on other options. The Humane Society likes the option of coming out doing the neutering part. As far as them taking animals, it's kind of, you know, get on the list. I've talked to other cities. A lot of cities aren't addressing cats. They don't even address it in their ordinance. And I'm like, well, at what point does it become a nuisance that you have to address it? I've also talked to the CSO about it. And I don't know what to do to be able to do this in a humane way to eliminate the situation. I know we can keep it from growing. Now I'm getting people that are saying this has become a nuisance. They've had it.
Yeah. I hear it too.
I'm getting a lot of complaints now.
Well, if we just have them picked up, we're just masking the problem. We're going to go through this again. If we don't start having some type of neutering or some type of elimination of the source.
I believe that's the first step.
We got to do that.
The next step, I think, is to send a notice at least to the homeowner and the renter there that they need to quit feeding these animals or they're going to be construed as harboring them, which then they'll be in violation of the ordinance.
which, yeah.
And they'll be liable. And I know we've done that in the past. Obviously, it hasn't been done now.
Well, I heard a comment that they were going to try. Well, what do you do? Cut the ration back?
I heard that all last summer.
I know.
And obviously, it's gotten worse. Because now there's over 10 cats.
I have not seen no one there trying.
There's more than 10. I counted 12 the
other
day.
There's more than 10 now.
I counted 12 the other day.
There were 10, and now there's 10, 12, 13. And that's just, they're all in that thing.
Yeah, hang out right across from where that painter guy lives.
She leaves food out.
And as it gets warmer, the tom is going to get more aggressive, and we'll see more cats.
Yeah, mating season will go, once it gets, as you said, it gets warmer. When the females are in estrus, then it'll get nasty.
So, I mean, I think getting hold of one of those groups.
Do that one of those groups out, yep. And I did get another group from the CSO. To have one of them come out as first step, and then any other, I'm open to any other suggestions, because it sounds like people are to the point where they want them gone.
I would just look at our health ordinances and see if there's a safety health issue with any ordinance that we have.
You've got cat feces all around that area.
I mean, that's where I would go with that.
Chris, I can't hear you. You would do what?
I would say let's look at the different health ordinances that we have and see if there isn't one that applies. That by feeding these cats and having these cats constantly be there, that is creating a health hazard. Not so much just a harboring of animal hazard, but a health hazard for the city and for the people around it.
Is it safe to? And I think that's the issue. But is it safe to assume that because these people are feeding these wild cats that they basically are creating an attractive nuisance or something, and that because of the fact that they're feeding them,
to me,
that
they'd be harboring them. Well,
yeah, exactly. And so could the CSO come out and say, here's what the ordinance is, you have this, and talk to these people?
And that's what I would do. I'd draft up a letter and have the CSO deliver it.
Right.
And I would try to have us go more towards the health side of things, because I have a bird feeder. I'd say birds are a nuisance or anything like that, but they can be. Right. You get enough of them around.
Right.
It's kind of a...
I know. I understand.
One
I know
animal versus another type of thing.
I know where you're going exactly on that.
I've had three cats in my barn or in the shed there. I'd have Green Pepper down there, and he got them all. Then they crawl up underneath in the semi on their hood underneath there. They crawl up there and sit on the motor underneath the insulation. They tore some insulation and stuff off of there.
I might get the city to carve a call, because they have the so-called cat lady there.
And then they've been going down to
see how they dealt with it.
Yeah. Well, there were two of them coming down the tracks from Green Island. They must have got word.
They go down in the sewer and they sit down there where it's warm. Yeah. I'm sick of it. I don't want to shut them.
Just one thing after another lately. It's crazy.
But we got to start with just, I would say, start with those two
and
things.
I agree, start with the neutering to minimize the issue, and then
if we don't kill the source, or if we don't neuter the source, we're going to have the issue in another 8-9 months again anyway.
It'll be on orders.
Exactly. Well, make some calls, see what you can round up, ordinance-wise or whatever.
And then I had someone check out the old laptop. I thought maybe if we just replace the hard drive, we'd be good to go, and then Greg could use it, but obviously not. Sounds like the motherboard shot. So if the motherboard shot on a computer is basically worthless, it's not worth nothing. So I guess, I don't know, council wants to just have me, give me wishes to just drop it off at Best Buy and dispose of it. Obviously, I've taken the hard drive out of it, and I'd probably take the memory out of it. Other than that, I know there is gold in there if you really want to sacrifice for $5 worth of gold, But I really
after about that.
Yeah, I think it's worthless. And to replace the mother, you're better off buying a new computer than replacing the motherboard on the computer, because that's the main board. So, and it is 7 years old, so it's not like we didn't get our life out of it.
Are you going to be purchasing a new one for you,
Mine's good. This one's only about a year old. This one works good.
Okay. But you're going to get one for breakdown now?
We have an old desktop I think I'll just have to put down there for now. I just thought it'd be nicer if you had the laptop, ease of use, but I'll just set up the desktop in his shop whenever we get the phone sorted out there, then I'll set that up and get the internet running and everything and get everything set up.
That might be easier for him anyway.
Yeah, so.
Jeremy,
but that thing's as old as the hills too, so hopefully it'll at least get us through this budget year.
That we're going to probably have that operational before the next council meeting. So that fancy modem Justin was talking about, do we have to have the council approve you to buy that, or can you just buy it or what?
No, that's a budget expense. I have authority up to 500. It's only $100, so I think we can purchase it and have it approved at next council meeting. Well, what we're going to do is buy one of them dual routers like we have that we put in here. So that way we can be on one line, and then you can have an open line in here, so we can have internet access. We can do the same at the hall. And then maybe I may have, once that's done, have Dustin look at that and see if we maybe need a range extender. You know what I mean? Based off where that is and how what kind of range we get in that building.
Well, we're going to hardwire it, Greg.
But I'm saying then for the wireless upstairs, I don't know what kind of coverage we'll get, if we'll get good coverage or not.
Did you ever talk to him, and I don't mean to get off the subject, but did you ever talk to him about a way to do the sign remotely?
Yes. We did talk about that after you left.
Okay.
And he says when it warms up, he'll come back out to look at that assessment. Okay. He says, I'm sorry, but I need to stand out there and take signal readings, and I just haven't been able to this winter. And I said,
"Yeah,
hey, I don't blame you.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I'll keep in touch with him, too. We're still...
We got to quit now.
It is... he still knows about that, and he's still considering that. So I told him it'd be great if I could do that, because it'd be a lot easier to be able to do that sign from here then, because like now I have to load all the equipment up and go down there. And so, yeah, we're still looking at that.
Okay.
Last thing I got then is we did meet with our two top candidates, and we had narrowed it down to two candidates, Sherry Smith and Ann Lynch, for the deputy clerk, utility billing clerk position. As far as the committee, we're kind of torn between the two. I think we both, or all three of us, feel both of them can do the job. Chris has kind of voted towards Ann Lynch, and Steve has voted towards Sherry Smith, and myself, I've been torn. One of the things I would base mine on would have been the interview. I felt Sherry Smith interviewed better. That would be my choice, just based on the interview. I just feel her questions were better in the interview process. As far as council, I don't know if the committee wants to chime in on anything or discuss their thoughts on the two candidates.
Yeah, basically, as we went through the process and we sat down and read their resumes and all that and listened to them during the interview, it really comes down to kind of, for lack of a better term, a coin flip between the two. They both bring very good attributes. One of them is making a venture back into the employment world, and the other one is drawing back to spend more time with the family. And the reason why I kind of, like I told Jeremy in my email, the reason why I kind of lean in towards Ann is because she does have extensive accounting experience, which I think would be very beneficial right off the road, starting off, you know, for Jeremy, and as far as having a small learning curve. The other thing is she has shown the ability to really improve processes that she's worked on at her previous employers, which I know we've talked about doing standard operating procedures here, trying to streamline some things for the office to try to make it more efficient. So those are the two reasons for really I'm not talking that pushes her, you know, miles down the road ahead of Sherry. It just gets her just a little bit further in my mind ahead of Sherry as far as a good fit. But like I say, that's we talked about it at the meeting. I took the night and the next morning to kind of reflect back and forth on what everything was said. And that's why I came to the conclusion I came to.
You know, looking at them both, I think they both had associate's degree. I mean, so they have degrees. They're knowledgeable in the fields. And even I emailed Chris back, and I said, you know, I'm really torn between the two. I mean, my concept or my problem was is Ann looked better on paper. But then I just felt I like to go by an interview because then you put some questions to them. They kind of get put on the spot. I personally thought, you know, Sherry performed a little better in the interview. So now it's paper, interview with me. And
well, you're the one who has to work side by side here, too.
And I think that's important because if we hire somebody that, and I'm not saying, just I got to be careful I say it. If we hire one that Jeremy isn't strongly in favor of over the other one, I think that's bad because
that's what makes it tough because I'm not
right. No, but
strongly
I mean,
in favor of it. It wasn't. It's not an easy decision.
No,
that's the problem.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I want to be delicate how I say this, but we want whoever you are most comfortable with. Not that this one is bad, but
right.
Whoever you feel most comfortable with. And I think the fact that they have to deal with people, they have to answer the phone, they have to deal with the residents or the to come in here, and whatnot. You know, if you feel that they have more people skills, I think that's important because that's going to be a lot of the job.
Because
they're going to have to be here answering your phone and dealing with the people when you're gone or tied up or whatever. And so I just, my feeling on this is that whoever you think it would be the better of the two, and not that the other one is bad, but whoever you feel most comfortable with, that's the one who I think we should go for.
And the reason I chose Sherry was, like Chris said, they both got their credentials. Are both, I mean, they're even out both ways. I just think that Sherry had, she had a more, I should say, she didn't say like or yeah or this. She come right to the point. Just go by the policies, and we don't. There was two questions in there. She didn't answer the way I thought she should have answered. And I just, I guess I'm, you know which two answers or questions they were. And I just, going over those two, and I didn't like that, the way she answered those two. And I just think if she would have been a little bit more professional, she should have answered those a little bit higher grade than what she did, you know. And Sherry come right out, and she had the answer right away, and I just, that's why I picked Sherry.
A good background in accounting, which is beneficial. I guess my big thing really is to pick that right person, like you said, personality-wise, customer service-wise, so to say. And then the other thing for me would be is getting work done in a timely manner is going to be the biggest thing because I think they both can do the job. And like I said, because it's a toss-up, with me, my personal gut tells me to go with one that interviewed better.
That's a good enough for me.
So the personnel committee will take care of the hiring and whatever? Is this where
I think
well, basically, could be a recommendation. You know, we're going to give a recommendation, but, you know, like I said,
council make a motion.
So, yeah, I think the council has to approve who they want to hire.
And wage-wise, they were both...
$11 to $12.
Yeah, they were both real close.
Yeah.
So not having had the chance to meet or interview either one of them, the fact that both you and Steve liked the one, not trying to discredit Mr. Lund at all, but the fact that the two of you liked the one of them better than the other, then I figure then that's probably the one we should hire.
Right. I agree with that.
You have a motion?
I'll make
more
a motion.
Discussion?
And I guess what you want to start as a hourly wage, too, I guess, is what you want to...
Well, what was there an hourly wage in the
ad? He said 10 to 12, correct?
10
10 to 12 first.
All right. Well, I would make a motion to hire the Sherry at $11 an hour, halfway in the middle.
Any type of, what do you want to call it?
Probationary
period?
Five,
6 months.
Probationary period. Review at 6 months, same as Greg. I'd say you'd have to do.
Motion has been made.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to hire Sherry Smith as our new deputy clerk, utility billing clerk, starting out at the wage of $11 an hour with a review in 6 months.
So and no benefits.
And no benefits.
That's right.
No benefits. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. So one will notify her?
Yep, I will notify her.
Do you know about when she'll start, Jeremy?
Probably 2 weeks.
Okay.
All right, anything else? We had a liquor license deal. Did that come up here? Or?
We took care of the cassette.
We took that in cassette.
One, another one. Last time for Summerfest, for the liquor down there, did that one get way late? Do we have to go with that earlier? Do you have to bring that up earlier?
The liquor license?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I can have that approved in April. It's not a big deal.
Okay. Have you done temporary, though? Or have you just gone off your 3-2 license?
We usually get a temporary for them. Well, I don't know. We usually get a... We do have the 3-2 one. That's a yearly one anyway. But
2 years ago, I think we did a temporary because we had the wrestling.
I think we've been doing a temporary one every year anyway, just in case. As far as I know, Gene has always filed one that I can remember, but I guess I'd probably have to ask him.
Yeah, I guess my thing would be is to research and see if it's necessary. Or have you been selling strong beer?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's 3-2.
I don't see the need why to burn up one of your 12 usages then if you don't have to. I guess that's what I'm saying. But I don't even know what you
sell. Is there going to be an event up at the hall this time around?
No.
Because we never sell anything other than beer at the down at the field.
Yeah, we don't do any hard liquor or anything.
Down at the bank for the insurance agency. Because I went down there for the event insurance for the MD, you know, for the 24 or 2 day deal. And he says, well, do you have the temporary or the liquor thing taken care of more so than last year when it went to the last minute? Because I know you had said you weren't aware of it that time.
We carry the 3-2 license.
That was the insurance deal.
That was the insurance,
remember,
but did they want the
fire department members were working. Remember, all that came out that no, our policy only covers Lions.
Right.
Members.
But do they want the fire department to have a liquor license as well for a temporary? Because you're helping us. Is that what they were talking about last year?
That might be because he said something about
that could easily be issued.
That's a good possibility.
I have double-checked statute, but I think city has authority for issuing 3-2 licenses. Anything above that, then you got to meet statutory means. But
because I went down there talking for that already to get that under control.
Maybe just to be safe, we should just issue the fire department 3-2 liquor license.
Cover that then, too.
And then as far as you guys aren't selling anything strong over
3-2, no.
See the need to get a temporary then.
No, yeah. Save that for another.
Because I know that you guys, the fire department did have one because somebody stuck it in the trailer with the beer. Because it said Hamburg Fire Department. So at some point
that's
in time, you guys did get one.
I was referring to them.
Okay.
That went to the last minute or something.
Because after we did that research on our insurance, if you're not Alliance, our insurance won't cover you if you serve.
Okay. So we'll have
that's
to.
What
that all right. Anything else? Otherwise, we'll move on to the claims.
Before we get into it, and I forget again, the Ziegler billing.
Tomorrow.
You are going to go tomorrow?
Yeah,
okay.
So give me
okay.
Two checks.
All right.
The original.
And then a blank one in case we can come to an agreement on it.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, excellent. All the billings are laying on my desk, and I'll leave the notes of the people I talked to before we get.
I should talk to Greg and pick up his
Okay, sure. All right, that works for me then. We'll hold off
maybe
on that.
His number before you meet
him. Okay, sure, yeah. Okay, all right, then added February claims. Just one note I want to make on the agenda. It was 13-037-03. There was one of the para etch payments that I moved to March. Was actually paid in March, not February. So that amount should be $12,829.26, and you will see that noted on the updated February claims list.
I'll move to approve the one etch payment and check number 16640 to 16650 for February's claims for a total of
$12,829.26. Second. Motion made and seconded to approve the additional February claims with the one etch payment and checks number 16640 to 16650 for a total of $12,829.26. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. On to the March claims.
I'll move to approve the five patch payments and check number 6651 to 66676 for March for a total of $47,407.94.
Okay. Motion made and seconded to approve the five patch payments and check 16651 to 16676, total of $47,407.94. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. One. Councilman Odoms.
The agenda should be put in next week, supposedly. The phone company that I talked to about reconfiguring our phones at the water plant and the community hall and the shops, the lady I talked to, I told her what we wanted to do, and she assured me it could be done. Their guy came out yesterday to put in the internet, and he says it can't be done. So I went back to her and I said, well, here's what your installer said. And she basically said, no, it can be done. It has to be done in stages. So I anticipate that would be done as planned for the amount that it was quoted. And I hope to have that up and running by the next council meeting, hopefully within the next couple of weeks. That's all I got.
All right.
The only thing I have was the bouncy course for Summerfest. It came up at the meeting at the end. Mr. Lund, did you have a chance to look at any of that kind of stuff? Because I know you had said you were.
I've gone and looked online, but I haven't gotten the ones. I got to get those tonight from you, Jeremy, the ones that I looked at, if you still have them originally.
Yeah, somewhere.
And then
I guess.
The other question I have is, do I just have them invoice the city, or how do we work out payment for those things?
Probably, if we can, we're probably going to want to do that so we can save on sales tax.
Yeah.
Because if we do it any other way, then we're excluded from the sales tax exemption. So we'll want to do it through us to save on the sales tax. Definitely.
So I'll work with whichever vendor I end up going with and tell them that's how we want to get it done.
And if they need something from me, call me or send them something. Yeah, I'll work on that.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Chris?
Well, Bob kind of took my first item there that I was talking about. So the second thing is that I figured once the snow melts and the ground has softened a little bit, I'll get people down there to offer us bids for the handicap bathroom. I figure there's no way we're going to get really close and get in there. And I haven't been down there lately to see if anything's moved from the frost and that as far as blocking doors for us to be able to get in. So that's all I have.
Speaking of that, I just want to add on to that. Do we want to look at doing the handicap porta potty in the park again? Now that you bring that up,
I think we should.
Yeah, because I
don't. Probably not till later.
Well, yeah, I would say the weather permits.
Obviously, now there's 4 feet of snow there, but
could be May.
Yeah, it could be
April.
June.
Be
May. Maybe July.
All right, so then weather permitting, then I'll line that up because I did talk to her. Today, I told her to call me back in April. So
that's fine.
All right.
Anything else?
Nope.
Steve?
Chris, I took mine on the bathroom thing. But I just wanted to say to Chris and Jeremy that on the last job opening thing. I think it was pretty, the way we went about it was very well. We did a pretty good job, and we had some good candidates, and I thought we was, from the way it used to be, till now, ways, I know that, so I mean, so, unfortunately, we only
Well, we have a due process.
Right.
And we follow that,
and that's
what I know there were some people going around not happy with it, but we have that process, and we follow that.
Yep.
Consistency is good.
Yep.
I appreciate everybody's thoughts on that. I think we've got by that milestone now, and hopefully we can get back to 40 hours here.
Yes.
Anything else?
No, sir.
But okay. I guess on that, you guys think of some dates then to sit down sometime, whenever, to browse through that handbook. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, it's my turn now. I guess I should thank Steve. He took care of the meeting last month. I was out and about. I heard he was going to go for a record to get it done earlier than I get them done, but it didn't quite.
We have one comment on that.
Yeah.
I did tell everybody that to say hi from you when you were lounging in the Speedos and stuff. So.
Oh, that's a mental picture I really didn't need,
that
Steve.
Didn't happen.
Thanks a lot.
And the thing for that.
Okay, don't ask that.
thanks to Councilman Odoms for the postcards.
Yes,
them out.
Definitely. Thanks for helping me out that.
And that next word you might not just figure out the wording, and I'll. I got to work tomorrow on Thursday, but.
Okay, I'll put something together. Then, if you just want to print them out, I can put stamps on.
Yeah, and I think that third one here was a little bite now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think to maybe paint a financial picture here for people that any water that freezes up, it'll be costing the city $200 an hour in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And explain to them that this will impact water rates for next year.
Okay. And we've had 175 hits on my website, and I'm keeping that updated. I'm telling the people, you know, don't get this false sense of security. And so that's obviously getting the word out.
Probably had 60 to 80 people call. Let me know they are running their water.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a running tally of that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people have been running their water and probably haven't called yet, because each day more and more keep coming up. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I've been running it.
Well, I wondered this morning he gave you verbal notice. I mean,
right.
It's just the way it is.
So it's. And I'm hoping word of mouth will get that out, and people will read the paper and take this last one very seriously.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the bounce house, you will get ordered here soon?
Yes, I will complete that by the end of the weekend at the latest. I just got to figure out exactly if they'll take the
Do we have a policy on who, what, or where?
I'm going to write that up as well and propose it to the council so we can talk about it.
Something in there.
Yeah,
we're going to have to. If
how
we
we're going to check it out, how we're going to check it back in, and who we
and the fee is involved.
Yeah.
And then who carries insurance on it probably would be the biggest one.
Insurance and damages, too, in case it came back. Because I think with private parties, I'm not worried as much about clubs and things like that, but private parties that want it, we're probably going to have some kind of a damage deposit.
Do we want to limit it to clubs?
I don't think you want to give it to.
I don't think so.
I don't want.
I mean, I think we could rent it to anybody we want, as long as we have some kind of a policy with it.
You get a bunch of people that are all ginned up.
I'll draft something up, and then we can I'll send it out. I'll send it to Jeremy, and then we can talk about it at another meeting how we want to proceed with that. I'll talk to a couple of the cities that has something similar. Nobody has it. I don't think anybody else.
Nobody
exactly. But as far as rentals go, or rental stuff.
I'm going to say right now, I'm not in favor of private.
No, I'm not either. Get a bunch of people ginned up, bouncing on there.
The city is buying it?
Well, that's just it. That's why we got to have a policy. I mean, if we have a policy that have to have insurance and or a damage deposit, there's a lot of private parties that won't actually be able to do that or won't want to do that. Right. So.
No.
Yeah.
But I'll put something together and then bring it to the group.
Do you want me to, when you put something together, just CC that to Matt to look over?
That might not be quickly. A bad idea.
Wouldn't hurt.
Just the CYA?
Mm-hmm.
COA?
One other thing. I think it's May 28th or 29th. Central Elementary, they're going to have some kind of a community service day that they want the kids to participate in community service, get them used to it. And it's going to be from first grade to fifth grade, I guess. I talked to Jeremy a little bit. If you have got some ideas, because basically we thought there's going to be a lot of stuff in the park, little twigs, branches, you know, that can be picked up. We figured maybe chairs can be wiped off, tables can be wiped off. If you have got any ideas, I mean, 1 through 5, fifth grade, you know, I mean, the little ones could go and pick up, you know, and the bigger ones could do a little bit more, you know, but...
Like you said, half are going to watch and follow anyways, but...
But it's just, they want to do this, and so it's, you got ideas, I'll forward them to the principal, but it sounds like they want to do something here, so more power to them. That's good.
Good idea.
It's nice enough that could, some of the older kids could, just for good entertainment value, paint the benches down there or something too.
Yeah.
Well, we have, when are we getting, when's the Lions Club getting those barrels?
What's that?
Those barrels we talked about at the Lions Club at one point in time.
Barrels?
The tables.
Table barrels.
Table barrels. When we're going to be getting some table barrels?
Oh, yeah. We just got to go get them. I mean, I forgot all about it. I got to call Jimmy Bankston down there. Otherwise, if we want to drive up to my buddy's place, you know, where he works up there in East Bethel, or Bram, I mean, he said, we can have them all. He said, they got about 50 of them up there. I said, no, we only need like two or three.
That could be a service project, maybe. You know, if we could get them in time.
Because then we could paint them, yeah.
Kids could paint.
We just need to go get them, because most of these electric companies, they just sit there and rot because they don't have anything to do with them. They sit in their back thing. Tor told me, he says, we got 50 or 60 of them here. You can have as many as you want. He said, otherwise, if it's, you know, easier for you, he said, just call the electric company down there in Jordan. And I know Jim Bankston, who used to work for the city of Waconia, he works down there, or at least he did, and the last I heard he was. And the last time I called him was last fall, and he wasn't there at the time. He was at lunch, and then it kind of slipped my mind. So.
All right. Yeah,
so that might be a project.
All right. So at least you're all aware of it. Anything else? Otherwise, I'd look for a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion made and second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.